Thank you.
Thank you for this day. Thank you for Dr. Williams. Thank you for the word that you've given him. Open our hearts and our ears to hear from you. Speak to us, God. We want to know what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Brad. It's a great, let me say that it's a great honor to be here and to do the homily for Marquita's installation. A couple of years, I should have said, a week ago, on Friday, I was released from the hospital with a reverse shoulder transplant. So don't expect too much. I wrote everything out. If I can read it now, it will keep me from wandering. But it's hard to stay confined to one's notes. A number of years ago, I was teaching a class of about 55 students in Old Testament survey when I noticed two black girls on the front row. As the class developed, I noticed one on the left had eyes that followed my every movement. By the end of the hour, I was convinced she was going to be an A student. Some days later, I met with that student going to class, and after the expected exchange of greetings, I said to her, "You're going to be an A student, aren't you?" And she said, "Yes." In the course of her classwork, she did just that. She earned top grades in everything but beginning Hebrew. By now, you've guessed that that student was Marquita Robinson. When I came to Southern California College, now Vanguard University, in 1969, it had an enrollment of 450, up from the previous years of 400. Everybody knew everybody. I remember waking up a student over in the dormitories, the men's dorms, to clarify a point on an exam that he had written the day before. Everybody knew everybody. Enrollment had gone up. But everybody didn't know everybody by the time of Marquita's graduation. And as the time came to choose a class speaker, several nominees were greeted with calls of, "Who's that?" I was happy to nominate her with, "Does anyone not know Marquita?" Her infectious personality had pervaded the campus. And today I'm happy to present for ordination by this church my adopted daughter, Marquita Robinson. But first, a few words of scripture. This is not my text. Exodus 30:30 says, "Anoint Aaron and his sons also, consecrating them to serve me as priests." Now, what happened in the process of anointing? What made the difference between brother to Moses, Aaron? That was his identification, yeah? And Aaron the high priest. Was it a wet, oily Aaron versus a dry one? Or was there some magic in the oil itself? During my tenure at New York University, I asked a rabbi, what's the difference between magic, superstition, and religion? He gave it some thought, and he then replied, magic is bad science. Superstition is bad religion. I would suggest that true magic is more than that. It relies on coercion and imagines that there's another supreme power in the universe that must be supplicated in order to do something. This would be an unthinkable blasphemy in biblical theology. For example, the common word in both Greek, prosukamai, and Hebrew, sha'al, means to ask and not to demand. Think of that when you pray. Here's where comparativism fails us. Ugaritic abounds with descriptions of Shlamim and Seraphim that would indicate that they offered sacrifices for the well-being of their communities, that's Leviticus chapter 3, and for the atonement of their sins as they were defined by the local god. Similarly, there were lots of anointings. A German scholar, in a long monograph in very technical German, associated anointing with two things, both illustrated by the parable of the Good Samaritan. Number one, he said, anointing indicates the use of oil. Indicates purity. The Good Samaritan used oil for cleansing the wound of the wounded Jew. And the second one is healing and well-being. And that is the idea of the Good Samaritan trying to heal the wounded Jew. I do not mean to deny the feelings of the findings of this German scholar, but they are only partial and external. It would be like saying baptism is the equivalent of washing because it comes from a ritual washing. No. Baptism means a rebirth. And I found biblical evidence tying anointing with the divine spirit that transforms a human being or an object to something that it was not before. Let me remind you of the tie between anointing and the spirit. And the Spirit, therefore, reveals to us what is the mind and will of God. Let me illustrate by using the altar. Pagan sacrifice abounded. Ugarit had both atonement and fellowship offerings. But as Baruch Levine, my advisor at New York University, cautions, were they the same? It was the God to whom they were offered that made the difference. The altar was anointed to offer burnt offerings for atonement in Leviticus chapter 1. The anointed altar meant they were offered to Yahweh or Jehovah or the Lord, depending on your translation. The difference, dear friends, between what God has directed us to do and what we have hammered out on our own efforts is really foremost, front and foremost. God shows his approval of the tabernacle by filling it with his glory. In Exodus 40, 34 through 38, with Aaron and his sons, he allowed them access to the holy place and to present acceptable offerings. The duties of the biblical priest were two. One, he has custody of the Torah. Two, he intercedes between God and mankind. So Aaron was anointed as high priest and his sons as common priests. Was it a magic rite? Was there magic in the oil? Any casual reading of the book of Exodus shows that in his early life, Aaron was completely overshadowed by Moses. But now, after his anointing, Aaron becomes high priest and stands apart from Moses in partnership. This brings us to Saul. And here's my text. Finally. 1 Samuel 10:6 says, and this is Saul being prophesied over by Samuel over his lost asses, she-asses, actually. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed to a different person. There are three points here that I don't want us to overlook. One, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. It's not something that you grit your teeth and do. Two, you will prophesy with them. And three, you will be changed. Someone who says, oh, I'm a Christian, but hasn't given witness to change in their lives, disturbs me. Note the sequence. The Spirit of the Lord would come on Saul, not just any spirit. He would prophesy. The Bible teaches us that the Spirit gives gifts to the church. And so he's going to do the Lord's work. And thirdly, he would be changed to the captain of the Lord's host, or whatever you're going to translate that curious word, nagid, in there. It doesn't mean king. Let's do another mind warp to the present time. Again, a verse of Scripture. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? That's the word nagid again. You may find it translated differently in the version you're using. We wrestled over it terribly in every translation committee I've worked on. Marquita stands before you as one to be anointed. Anointing in the Old Testament consists of two elements. In 1 Samuel 10:1, then Samuel took the flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance?" That is, Samuel is asking for the Lord at this point. And God has appointed you as leader over his inheritance, namely Israel. I've known Marquita a long time. She does not do this of her own will, but earnestly seeks the will of the Lord in doing this. God has anointed her already. And the second thing is approval by the people. Remember that Israel was uncomfortable with Saul's anointing. Remember, they grumbled. And who is this guy, son of Kish? And why should we anoint him as a leader? So Samuel says, "Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed," meaning Saul. "Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? And from whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these, I will make it right." Dear friends, let me conclude with this handoff to Pastor and tell you that this is your part of the installation to confirm Marquita as the Lord's anointed. Okay.